spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Case of the Glastonbury Cows, was written by Mark Siegel. In the archives of freedom, in the annals of liberty, there are moments that live forever.
The Boston Tea Party, the battles of Concord and Lexington, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the birth of the Constitution.
Place next to these, unblushingly, in the archives of freedom, in the annals of liberty, the case of the Glastonbury cows. This is a true story about two spinster ladies, a book, a small New England town, and seven extraordinary cows. The ladies' names were Julia Evelina Smith and Abby Hadassah Smith. The book is the book of books, the Holy Bible. The town was Glastonbury, Connecticut. Each of these seven cows also had a name, but we'll save that for later in the story. To understand the case of the Glastonbury cows at all, you have to know something about the ladies who owned them. Neither Miss Abby nor Miss Julia were exactly retiring types. As a matter of fact, Miss Abby was thought by some of the Glastonbury folks to be rather a talkative person, especially talkative about her family.
Case started with the Bible. Nobody couldn't forget the Bible in our house. Not for a minute. Now, you just take the names. Mother's name was Hannah Hadassah Hickok. Father's was Zephaniah Smith. I suppose you know who Zephaniah was. If memory serves me aright, he was the son of Cushing.
Abby Hadassah Smith was a bit talkative, I suppose. Much more talkative than her sister Julia. If it had been up to Julia, possibly no one would even know about the case of the Glastonbury cows.
Now, don't you go saying a thing against Julia. Why, Julia was my support and help all through. Julia may be quiet, but when she puts her mind to something, she stays with it.
Well, for once, Miss Abby is understating the facts. Miss Julia, for example, spent 9 years translating the entire Bible from the original Hebrew.
Why? Well, Julia allowed as the English version that rested on our parlor bookshelf wasn't completely accurate. What else was there for her to do but make her own translation?
The case of the Glastonbury cows really began on a brisk morning in November 1873. Now, if, as we review the facts, we find Miss Abby somewhat loquacious, perhaps we can forgive her on the basis of youth. She was much younger than her sister Julia. Abby was only 77. Julia was 82. It was Miss Abby who opened the door of the trim white homestead in which the sisters lived on that fateful morning in the year 1873.
Well, good morning, Mr. Andrews. We've been expecting you.
Morning, Miss Abby.
Julia! Julia, it's Mr. Andrews come visiting on his annual chore. Please to come into the parlor, Mr. Andrews.
Well, thank you, Miss Abby. The mornings are growing chill, to be sure. Though I don't know as you're going to welcome the news I've brought.
Mr. Andrews, no one rightly welcomes the tax collector's news. Still, there's no reason to be inhospitable. Julia, fetch a cup of hot cocoa for Mr. Andrews. He looks a bit shivery.
Poured it already. Come in, Mr. Andrews. Drink it. You do look chilled.
Thank you, Miss Julia.
Brought some bran muffins, too.
Oh, I thank you. Pity I can't repay your kindness.
Mr. Andrews, I told you already we're prepared for your annual visit. My sister and I have our tax money put aside. You needn't be hesitant about asking for it. Gracious, we've paid taxes every November for the past 40 years to you and Mr. Cornish.
Abby,
before you.
Give him a chance to say his piece.
To say his piece? Why, what would...
I do believe he's trying to tell us something.
Yes, I am, Miss Julia.
Well, then say it, Mr. Andrews.
Well,
what, Mr. Andrews?
Well, Miss Abby, it's that I have to ask you for more than I did last year.
For more? Has the town council raised the tax?
No, ma'am, but...
Then why must you ask for more?
Well, they've reassessed your property, Miss Abby.
That's odd. Hadn't heard of any general reassessment?
No, there hasn't been any general reassessment, Miss Julia.
No general reassessment?
No, ma'am.
George Andrews, you mean to sit there and tell us only our property's been reappraised?
Well, no, not exactly. Yours, Miss Abby, and...
And what, Mr. Andrews? Don't fear to talk.
Yours and the property of Widow Merton...
And that's all?
And the property of Widow Baker.
No one else's? Just our land and the land of two widows?
Yes, Miss Julia. It's only a small rise in the tax, Miss Julia, a very small rise.
I don't care if it's a penny's rise, Mr. Andrew. Do you, Abby?
Certainly not. We won't pay it.
You won't pay it?
That's right. We won't pay it, Mr. Andrews. Not 1 cent.
But, Miss Abby, it's the law. The town council has reappraised your land. That's all there is to it.
That's not all there is to it by any means, Mr. Andrews. This is a question of
justice.
Of justice, of course. That's exactly the word.
What's unjust about it? I don't recollect your getting so riled up ever before about paying your tax.
It's not the tax, Mr. Andrews. It's the principle. From what you've just told us, not 1 acre of land in the whole township owned by a man has risen in value.
I can't help that, Miss Abby. All I can do is to collect your tax.
You'll admit it's an extraordinary coincidence, Mr. Andrews.
What is, Miss Julia?
My sister means it's an extraordinary coincidence that the town council, made up only of men, voted into office only by men, should discover values of land have risen only for women. Especially women without menfolk who can talk for them. Now you can just go back to that town council and tell them that Miss Abby Hadassah Smith and Miss Julia Evelina Smith will not pay an unjust.
You can tell them to read their Bibles a bit, too.
Their Bibles? What's that got to do with it, Miss Julia?
Tell them to read the first chapter of Genesis.
I can't tell the town council what to read, Miss Julia. I'm only the tax collector.
You tell them anyway. Tell them the Lord created all men equal. Tell them my sister and I are just sure he meant all men and all women, too. You care to have another muffin, Miss Andrews?
In the year 1873, the town council of Glastonbury, Connecticut, was not precisely accustomed to being advised by women, not even by the Smith sisters, who were known generally for their independence of spirit and their reservoir of learning. The chairman of the council received the tax collector's report, therefore, with great equanimity.
Oh, what? What's that they said, Andrews?
They said for the council to read the first chapter of Genesis.
I have never in all my years...
Well, I'm just saying the words as they said them to me.
Never mind what they said to you. You listen to what I'm saying to you.
Yes, sir. You've got my ears.
Oh, hang your ear. You're Glastonbury's tax collector, aren't you? No, I'm telling you to collect the tax. And another thing, Andrews.
Sir?
You might tell Miss Abby and Miss Julia that the town council can continue to function without their advice as to Bible readings.
George Andrews, the tax collector, returned to the Smith homestead and delivered the chairman's message. This time, Miss Abby suggested another reading for the council.
If they're too stubborn to open the good book, tell them to read the Declaration of Independence. Tell them taxation without representation is what our forefathers fought the British about almost 100 years ago.
Miss Julia, the quiet one, had a simpler suggestion.
Abby.
Yes, Julia.
Better still. Let's tell them ourselves.
In the year 1873, women did not attend town meetings in Glastonbury, Connecticut. Women did not vote. Women were represented in the town council by their male relatives. Women never, never spoke at town meetings or requested the right to do so.
Mr. Chairman! I'm asking for the right to speak.
Gentlemen! Gentlemen, let us have order! Please! Let us have order! You, Miss Abby, you are out of order. Completely and irrevocably out of order.
Mr. Chairman, something else is out of order if I don't have the right to speak.
Miss Abby, it is simply not the custom for ladies to attend town meetings.
And I do believe the time's come to alter the custom, Mr. Chairman.
Well, now, just 1 minute.
Miss Abby, we have no wish to quarrel with you. We would appreciate it if you'd sit down. This town meeting has much business to transact.
What business is more important than the business of justice?
Miss Abby, is there no way to reason with you?
Reason? Is it reasonable that I shouldn't be heard? It's not as if I had a son or brother or father to speak for me. It's not without due deliberation that we've been willing to attend this meeting. We had no other way of coming before the men of the town.
Let her speak, John. We needn't necessarily listen.
All right. All right, Miss Abby. Respect for your age,
I'll not speak on the grounds of my age. Besides which, John, I consider it ungallant of you to mention it.
Miss Abby, speak on any grounds you will.
Very well. I'll speak on the grounds of justice.
We'd appreciate it if you'd speak briefly on whatever grounds. You know, that's a bit hard for you.
Hard or not, I'll be brief. It's not 10 years since we fought a war to emancipate the slaves.
What's that to do with taxes, Miss Abby?
It's everything to do with taxes and with freedom. Now, what's the motto of our government? Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. All. That's from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10.
Miss Abby, you and your sisters have a peculiar propensity to teach this town council the scriptures. We didn't ask for a Bible lesson.
It's as much a freedom lesson as a Bible lesson, John, as you'd know if you'd listened. All my sister Julia and I say is that liberty should be proclaimed for all the inhabitants of Glastonbury. As it is, one half of the inhabitants, the men, rule over the other half, the women, who aren't put under the law.
Miss Abby, I don't believe you're talking to the point. The point is, will you or won't you pay your rise in taxes?
It's what I'm trying to tell you, all of you. We came here, Julia and I, because you raised our taxes, ours and two widows. If you hadn't raised our taxes, we might never have thought about it.
About what, Miss Abby?
About how we have no voice in saying how our taxes are used. But now we've thought about it. Do we not stand on an equality with every man in this assembly before the law of God? God is a God of justice. Men and women stand alike.
Miss Abby, I didn't give you the floor to make a speech for women's suffrage. If you have anything further to say about the tax that's due, please say it.
All right, I'll say it. Miss Julia and I won't pay the rise in taxes.
That is your last word? Your very last word?
Not quite. Miss Julia and I won't pay any taxes at all. Not till we have the town.
The Smith sisters returned to their quiet white farmhouse with the dark green shutters and took up the placid routine of their daily lives. They read the Bible and studied French. They visited sick neighbors and performed farm chores. Only one thing had changed. They paid no taxes whatsoever.
You again, Mr. Andrews?
Yes, yes, Miss Julia.
You're wasting your time.
Well, perhaps. Perhaps not, Miss Julia.
We'll not pay a cent until we are represented in the town council.
No, Miss Julia, don't make it hard for me.
Can't help it.
And I can't help what I've got to do today.
To do, Mr. Andrews?
Why, I've got a paper here, Miss Julia. It says you and your sister now owe $101.39 in back taxes. That includes interest.
We know that well, as you know it, Mr. Andrews.
And the paper says more, Miss Julia. Says I'm to seize as many of your cows as will pay the back taxes.
Our cows? George Andrews, you know you can't take our cows.
I can, too. Says so right here on this paper.
George Andrews, those cows have been brought up with love and affection, as the good book tells us to.
What's that got to do with
it? It's lots to do with it. The town has no right to take those cows. But if it does, you mark my words.
Yes, I hear you, Miss Julia.
You mark my words, if the town takes those cows, it'll be sorry, mighty sorry. Those cows know a thing or two about women's rights.
They were no ordinary cows. They answered to their names when Miss Abby or Miss Julia called. And though the tax collector could lead them away, he couldn't quite get them to desert their principles.
Dang it, Andrews, what is it now? I'm a busy man.
Well, you're the chairman, John. It's up to you to figure this one out.
Figure what one out?
These cows. The Smith sisters' cows.
Don't you think I know these are the Smith sisters' cows? I gave you the authority to seize them.
Well, you better give me some other authority, John.
What other authority? What are you talking about?
The authority to milk them. These cows have been here 2 days, and they just plain refuse to be milked.
It was true. Whatever the reason, women's rights or pure emotion, loneliness or a sense of indignation, the 7 cows of Glastonbury refused to be milked. That is, unless Miss Julia stood by and reassured them.
All right, Daisy. It's all right now, girl.
What? Well, she's giving milk now. Miss Julia, that does beat all.
George Andrews, my sister and I want it understood by the town council that we are letting the cows be milked for their own good. I am here under protest.
Well, I'll tell them, Miss Julia. Not that it matters.
It matters a great deal.
I'm sorry to say so, but it don't. Them cows are to be auctioned off at the signpost to the highest bidder tomorrow morning.
On the morning of January 8, 1874, a procession moved through the main street of Glastonbury, Connecticut. 7 cows walked unwillingly towards the auction block, urged forward foot by awful foot by 4 unfeeling guardians. Men, of course. And Miss Abby and Miss Julia watched, their faces grim, but their spirits high. Glastonbury cows walked reluctantly, but with dignity. Daisy was first. Then Jessie, Proxy, Minnie, Bessie, Whitey, and Lily, in that order. 2 calves, Martha Washington and Abigail Adams, had been spared the auction block.
Now, what am I offered for these fine Alderney cows? Worth $20 the head, at least. 7 times $20 is $140 for a beautiful herd. What's offered? What am I bid?
I'll give $100 for the lot, Andrews.
$100 offered. Who'll bid $125?
Mr. Andrews? Mr. Andrews?
Miss Abby, are you making a bid for these cows?
I am, Mr. Andrews. I am. I bid $400.
Miss Abby, these cows ain't worth $400, and you know it.
They're worth at least that and more than that to me.
But that's three times the money you wouldn't pay in taxes.
Mr. Andrews, I'll still not pay a cent in unjust taxes, but I'll spend all I have for justice.
Well, I have to warn you, Miss Abby, I'll take the cows away from you again. That's my job, to pursue them taxes till I get them.
All right, you do your job. My sister and I'll do ours.
Your job, Miss Abby? I didn't know you had one.
We all have one, George Andrews. It may seem to you that all that is to be pursued is taxes. Well, there's something else to be pursued. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. Justice. Justice shalt thou pursue.
Abby and Julia Smith pursued justice. And George Andrews, the tax collector, pursued their cows. Twice more, Daisy, Jesse, Proxy, Minnie, and their friends marched to the auction block. Twice again, Abby Hadassah Smith and Julia Evelina Smith outbid all comers to redeem their cows.
But, Miss Abby, Miss Julia, you've spent near $1,000 getting them cows back. Ain't you ever going to stop?
Not while we live and breathe, George Andrews. And we mean for that to be a long time.
For 2 years, the Smith sisters fought the good fight. Leaders of the women's suffrage movement journeyed to Glastonbury to meet the well-known cows. Journalists interviewed the sisters, partook of cheese made of the cow's milk, admired Martha Washington and Abigail Adams, who were by then full-grown, and wrote of the battle of principle being waged in the Connecticut hills. Abby was pleased with the progress of the cause, but Julia considered that more could be done.
Abby, buying the cows back is not enough.
How's that, Julia?
It's 2 years we've been asking the right to speak in the town meeting.
It's 2 years we've shown we won't be mistreated.
Not enough.
Julia, you've something in mind. What is it?
I have in mind that we should publish my translation of the Bible.
Publish it? Why publish it now? It's 20 years since you made your translation.
20 years isn't so long for a Bible translation to wait.
I suppose it's not, Julia. But what's publishing your Bible to do with our right to speak in the town meeting?
The men in town. They might more readily admit our equal right to speak if they knew what a woman can accomplish if she puts her mind to it.
Julia, I doubt they'd pay much notice.
They'd have to pay some notice to a Bible.
That's true. But where's the money to come from?
Abby Smith, I'm ashamed of you.
It's just an observation, Julia. Where is the money to come from?
Abby, if the Lord provided us with $900 to fetch back our cows, don't you suppose he'll help with $1,000 to publish a Bible?
Julia Smith's remarkable Bible, translated word by word from the original Hebrew, was published in 1876. Across the country, the case of the Glastonbury cows, already a cause célèbre, received new support as men and women read Julia's Bible. And in Glastonbury itself, the male population paused and reconsidered.
See this editorial here? It says, if Sam Adams and George Washington would not submit to this kind of taxation 100 years ago, why should Miss Abby Smith and her sisters submit now?
Well, look here. In New York, according to the paper here, some important fellow stood up to a crowd and said, Abby Smith and her cows, that's what he said, Abby Smith and her cows are marching on like John Brown's soul.
Friends, those Smith sisters, they've made Glastonbury famous. I think, mayhap, we'd better call a town meeting.
Gentlemen, and ladies.
I've called this special town meeting for just one purpose. Miss Abby Smith, are you present?
I most certainly am, John.
Miss Julia Smith.
With my sister, as you can see.
Now, ladies, I have an announcement to make for the benefit of all. After due deliberation, the town has decided to give back to Miss Abby and Miss Julia the money they spent to buy their cows at auction. Andrews?
Yes, sir?
Please note the taxes on their property will be what they were before. That applies also to the land of the Widow Baker and the Widow Merton.
Yes, sir.
That's all I have to say.
Mr. Chairman!
Miss Abby, are you still asking the right to speak?
I am.
Go ahead, then.
Mr. Chairman, my sister and I won't say we're fully satisfied. We won't be fully satisfied until men and women are fully equal before the law. But we are gratified by your decision, and we want you to know it.
I'm glad of that, Miss Abby.
I do admit, though, that we're the least bit curious.
Curious, Miss Abby? About what?
About why you've come to this decision just now.
Why, it's not so hard to understand, Miss Abby. The menfolk have been reading what the newspapers say.
Oh, that's it.
And some of us, I guess, have been reading Miss Julia's Bible. You see, there's a bit there in the book of Isaiah that sticks. Seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. That's a pretty good constitution for a town government.
It cannot be reported that Miss Abby Hadassah Smith or Miss Julia Evelina Smith were ever permitted to vote in the town meeting of Glastonbury, Connecticut. But the path they marched was a path towards equality, the equality under law of all of God's children. And in the archives of freedom, in the annals of liberty, let them be remembered well. The sisters Smith, unyielding champions in the case of the 7 Glastonbury cows.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our eternal light drama today, The Case of the Glastonbury Cows, was written by Mark Siegel. Featured in the cast were Abby Lewis, Virginia Payne, Parker Fennelly, Santos Ortega, and Ed Peck. The narrator, Alexander Skirby. The liturgical introduction was sung by cantor David Putnam. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Walt Urquhart. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.